Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of the judgment draw nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily don't trod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned of the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle His wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, your hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and greed will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and greedy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road, when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, put on an all-fine robe. I'll find my payday at the end of the road. My steps grow weary, and the road gets rough and long. Sometimes I feel I'm all alone, but I still carry on. But a brighter day is coming, and it thrills my heart to know there'll be a payday at the end of life's road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road, when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, put on an all-fine robe. I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Some folks are planning futures, At the search for earthly gain, they're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in vain. So I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a pity at the end of the road. There'll be a pity at the end of life's road, when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Some folks are planning futures as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in the vain. But I'm laying up my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there'll be a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road, when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine road I'll find my payday at the end of the road. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine road I'll find my payday at the end of the road. That's what it's all about. That at the end of the day, you got a reward. It's not for everybody.
I pledge allegiance to the land.
Wait on my strength with all I am.
I seek to honor His commands.
I pledge allegiance to the land. I pledge allegiance to the land. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the land. I pledge allegiance to the land. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the land. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Well, the truth stood right before him.
That's right. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, going to see the King.
Going home,
going home, there is nothing to hold me. I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me, 'cause I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home, going home, going home. There is nothing to hold me, 'cause I got a glimpse of that heavenly home. Praise God, I'm going home. Heavenly Father, we've got to come at your presence, Lord, and give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, for keeping us on board, Lord, and for continuing to work in our life, Lord, to see that we can find that treasure at the end of the journey, Lord, that paid it, Lord. We just pray for this. Continue to do with us as you fit. Help us to be overcomers in the day and hour that we're now living in, Lord. I just pray you'll help us with your word to say it in such a way, Lord, that would be understood. Just keep it salty and say the things that you put on our hearts to say. Express it in such a way, Lord, that you'll be glorified in it. We just pray you just use us for your honor, for your glory, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sometimes go on YouTube and to read on things. Some clips on the YouTube channel there. It is reading about the Beach Boys. There's some rock and roll group back in the day, back in the 60s, 70s. And I was down there and down in California. They were on the beach singing songs and these rock and roll groups. And all of a sudden, in the 60s, all of a sudden, all these rock and rollers came out from the woodwork. The Beatles, the Beach Boys, and
the Elvis, the Beatles, and
the Bee Gees, Simon and Garfunkel. All of a sudden, the world was flooded with all these musicians. And I was down. I worked down in San Francisco at that time with race horses, and I was riding there. I went down to these rock and roll bands, to the Fillmore and Heath and Ashbury, and there's a big park down there. Downtown San Francisco. This was back in the day when you had this Charlie Manson, where he killed this actress, this Sharon Tate. Oh, I was right in there. I was right in the thick of it, right down there working in San Francisco at that time. And I didn't know what's going on. And then you had the Chumber Brothers and all these rock and roll. All of a sudden, the world was flooded with all these musicians. And well, later on, as I came to the message of Brother Brenham, I realized what happened in the 60s, 58, 59, 60. There, the Lord was having a showdown, and he brought to the world a message. So let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the foundational principles of Christianity, which was Acts 2:38. He started it back in 1520 with Martin Luther, just to live by faith. And he was beginning to reform all the things that had been lost through the Dark Ages, the Christian lifestyle. It had been lost, and then God began to turn this ship around, and he started, like I say, with Martin Luther, and for 100 years or more, he worked with Just Shall Live by Faith, and then he was shifting gears, and he began to use John Wesley and the holiness program. Now, a holy living. God requires a lifestyle that's holy, you know. It's just one more stage towards that perfection. And then in the 1900s, he raised up Brother Branham here in America. And all of a sudden, here there were tent meetings and all kinds of things going on around America. And what God was doing, was heading somewhere with this program. And he was heading for a showdown, and he was heading to a place where he could tell the churches of America, let's go back to the Bible, let's go back to the Word, let's go back to water baptism in Jesus' name. And lo and behold, when he had that big meeting in Chicago with all these denominations, all these churches, denominational, and they rejected it. They just completely rejected Brother Brenham. They rejected baptism in Jesus' name. And it's like I said before, I saw it. And then when you reject Jesus, there he has no other option. When you kick him out, there's only one thing that's left over. The devil will take over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in America and to the world back in 59, 60.
Yeah.
They rejected the prophet of Malachi, for behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. And then right after that, once God pulls out, he's given the devils the key, okay, you want this one, the devil, and give the key to America, and here they come. Here come the Beach Boys. And the reason I'm on this Beach Boy thing, because he was a very popular artist. He wrote songs, and everybody more or less worshipped him. I remember down there. I remember that era, that hippie era. You know, I saw a little whiff of it. And like I say, I was down there in San Francisco when these young guys, these young artists had come to the highlights of things there. You had, back in the, you can go check it out, but you had Simon Garfunkel, and then you had Alphys, and then you had all these artists all of a sudden they come out. Like I said, the Beatles, the Bee Gees, some of them are still alive. And just the reason I'm on it is this Brian Wilson, I think his name. He was the one that the highlights of that, the leader of that, the Beach Boy program, and he wrote songs and stuff like that. But here he just died. He was 82 years old, and they do drugs and all that stuff, and yet he lived to be 82 years old. I was surprised to see that. But,
yeah, they abused their bodies.
Yeah, and he had all kinds of issues.
Uh-huh. But that's the opportunity that God gave to the world, is when you will read Matthew 13, the seventh parable. That is that net that was cast with that healing ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That brother that was out there in the spirit world. It was all over the world, that this healing ministry that Brother Brenham had. And these other preachers too, they were able to heal too. But that was all drawing them in.
Mm-hmm.
Like that net was drawing in all the people of the world. There's,
it was headed for that showdown. That's what
right.
It was all about.
That's what it was all about. If you take it to scripture, God was giving everybody an opportunity. And there's no one in the 60s, 50s, 60s, that would have an excuse that they did not know about that God sending a prophet.
Yeah, they all know, like the Jimmy Swaggart, he knew about it. Or Robert, they all know about Brother Bennett. But see, they wanted to do the wrong thing. They wanted the glory for themselves. And when they left this world, like Jimmy Swaggart, he's worth millions, because that's all they were after. They weren't really after the souls of people. They just used that platform to build themselves up, to build themselves an empire, just like that Eddie Bissell did out in Vancouver there. He used the message of Brother Brem to build himself a massive empire, a matches money thing. Who God knows how many millions he has, but now he's dying and he's out of commission. And see, but what we want, what we're talking about today, we want to make sure that at the end of the day, that we'll have a payday, that we'll have something that that we'll have to show up for. And the only way you can do that, if you allow the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, to use you for His glory. There's a lot of people out there, I don't know if they'd even go to heaven, but they use the Scripture, they use the Bible for their own gain and glory, for their own advantage, just to do their own thing, just to make a name for themselves.
That's right.
But we want to, when we go through life, we want to make it so that when we have come to the end of it all, that we'll have a payday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there for everybody if they can only get their life in line, like we was talking the other day about that Peter, Paul, and Mary, when they came out with a song, Blowing in the Wind, you know, and it looked good. They, man, a living. I remember them, that song, when they were fresh, you know, coming back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they were so inspirational that you begin to wonder, and it looked so good, getting rid of the cannonball, getting rid of the war machine. But you gotta have a cannonball to hold back this evil that's coming in here. They had all these songs, all these socialist programs and these songs, and behind it was the spirit of Satan,
right,
to get rid of all the opposition,
that's,
you know?
That's right, because you have to realize that there is an enemy out there. And as long as the devil's out there, there's going to be conflicts in this world. And what would it look like if America would have no weapons?
Mm-hmm.
They would not, this whole world would be all in a mess.
The Muslims would take over.
That's right. And the Russians would take over Ukraine, and everybody would go out and destroy and do their own thing. But these, like Reagan always said, peace through strength. It's when you have a good army and people that people that are like the Middle Eastern world, they're always geared to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And their mentality is always geared to do fighting. Now, if America would not have what they have, they would go ahead and kill people left, right, and center. They have no conscience whatsoever.
Yeah. But God's using America, mm-hmm, to keep these people at bay.
That's,
hey,
right.
That's what this,
so
these
cannonballs have to be until the Lord Jesus Christ, that millennium reign is set in.
And that's what they had. They had these souls did the marches and all that stuff. That was all just geared to bring a socialist program where,
mm-hmm,
there's no opposition, you know. They can do whatever they want. And they always succeeded until Trump came along, and then peace through strength, the program. And under that Biden thing, it was just eroding. He wanted to get rid of the army.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get rid of that war machine. So working for the devil, working for the left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind that erode the country. That's why they had all these wars going. He had the whole Middle East on fire there in the last four years that he was in there. And that was a program of Satan. They're agents of Satan. And here the Lord brings Trump on board, and just to kind of push that thing back. Because he's coming soon. He's coming here in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And see what I'm trying to get at. When you go through life, all these people, like I read about that Brian Will, I think that's his name, Brian Wilson. He had all kinds of problems, but he was a gifted person when it comes to writing songs. And he was one of the head honchos of that movement, that music, that musician, that these artists, man alive, they could sing, and they brought out some harmony, and like the Bee Gees, you know, and just everything catering to the flesh, and the multitude down to hell and death, down that sea of destruction, simply because in the 60s, America rejected the prophet. America rejected the message to let's go back to the foundation principles of Christianity. Let's go back to Acts 2:38, water baptism by repenting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth, and if you have that Holy Ghost, he will bring you exactly to where we are today. Like I told that one guy, he was wondering what I'm about, and he didn't have the courage to ask me, and I knew he was wanting to ask me, and I just told him, listen, if you have a hunger for the Lord as I do, and for truth, you'll end up exactly where I'm at. But see, he just wanted to play the game, and then the Holy Spirit could not lead and guide him into all truth like he does you and I. He led us and he guided us to where we are today. There's nothing in us. We were just happened to come to a place in our life where we just had to completely surrender because we couldn't find our way. We're like in that maze where you're trying to find your exit through that maze, and that's the way it was with us. And he give us scriptures, and he led us on, and he led it, and guided us to the ministry of Brother Branham, and then we saw exactly what's going on here in the 60s and the 70s, here in the generation now that we're now living in. And now we can go out there, and we compel the people, the full counsel of God, because we can take you back from eternity to eternity, because through the ministry of these two great men, the ministry of Brother Branham and the ministry of Raymond Jackson, we have found that full counsel of God, and we're doing exactly what Jesus prayed when he said, Father, I thank you, God of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things. See, these things that you and I are talking about, they're hid from the masses, but he has revealed them unto me, such as we're learning. You and I happen to be one of those two people that were willing to learn. That's where we got our information from. And now the Lord was testing everybody to see who's going to be found faithful and wise to deliver that meat in due season. Mm-hmm. Who is then that? There's going to be somebody. He's got to find somebody. A singular. Who is then that faithful and wise servant of the Lord has found faithful and wise to deliver that meat in due season and to do exactly what you and I are doing, because through all that schmear, through all that rigmarole, when Brother Jackson went off the scene, the Lord took him out. He was testing each and everybody. What we're doing today, he was testing everybody who has done that wise and faithful servant. And they all had a potential. Ellen and Bud, they had a potential. Brother Boyd, they all had a potential. Brother Ralford, Tim Ralford, they all had a potential. All these preachers, Stroman and Tim McKay, these people, they're tremendously gifted. They all had a potential to be that wise and faithful servant. So what the Lord did back in 2004, when he took Brother Jackson, he took that anointing off, and now we're going to see what you heard, how you heard it, what you learned and all this. And here, lo and behold, it's barely in the ground. They come out here in the third day. Then they come out here after 2 days. All just being unfaithful. And the Lord cannot put this stamp of approval on a person that'll come out and say, we're in the third day, because it's not being wise and faithful to the things that we have been taught through that apostolic and through that prophetic ministry. And these Brenhamites, they're completely out of the picture. They're nowhere, because they did not move on into the apostolic ministry. So they're not even in the ballpark. They're not even being tested, because they could not move on with Brother Jackson. That was the idea of that church order thing as a separator. Well, although these people that back then and the 60s, when God took Brother Benham out to say, that was like a separating thing. And Brother Jackson refused to put a church order, and that separated Brother Jackson and all those that stood with Brother Jackson. It separated from the Brenhamites. And that's what happened back in the back in the 60s when the Lord took Brother Benham off to see. It's more or less like a separating fan. Mm-hmm. The fan is in his hand, and now we got just a handful. He had 6 or 7 people forever and a day in his church, and then he built out the contender, and it started mushrooming, getting bigger and bigger, and then he ended up with 1,000. But even in that, when Brother Jackson went off to see him, God was looking for somebody who is then that faithful and wise servant. When the Lord has found faithful and wise to deliver meat and due season, and he found you and I faithful, and that's all the only job description you and I have. We're putting this out so that at the end of the day we'll have a payday. What's the point in going through life and not getting nothing at the end for all your labor? That's why we're doing everything we possibly can. We're allowing the Lord lead to guide us with that of your eyes. It says in Psalm that if we're soft before Him, He'll even guide us with His eyes, and we'll be so sensitive before Him. That's what we're doing. He told us to sing some songs in the morning, and then He told us to get up a little early to start the day with prayer. Everything we're doing, we're led and guided by that Spirit. And now he found us faithful to do exactly what we're doing here. And now we're just waiting for that. Then he gives us the midnight cry. Everything that we say and do, we get it from the Lord. And he's using us for his glory because we have surrendered our will to him. And we still have I'm still not there yet where I'd like to be, because I'm still striving for that perfection, striving for that day and hour when we'll get a payday. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and it's all about being clothed with the revelation for your day and hour. All these evangelists that went out in the 50s, 60s, at the time of Brother Brenham, they had a healing ministry, some of them, but none of them was able to give you what was needed, the righteousness for the day and hour outside of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you will look at all these ministries over, like the A.A. Allen, the Oral Roberts, and Jimmy Swaggart, you can look at Kenneth Copeland, and you can look at that Derek Prince. That Derek Prince, he's known for expelling demons. But at the end of the day, what did he give people? What was he able to bring to people? Like when you go through the what God was doing with the Reformation, with Wycliffe and Huss, that was rolling in the Reformation, and then Martin Luther just took it and ran with it, and with the Reformation era. And then there was Calvin and Knox. These all men had a truth. They all had something to bring to people that you can line up with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brother Brenham came along and he took all those truths and he was able to give people something to clothe them with.
Mm-hmm.
And these people out there, they did not have anything to give to people, like that Derek Prince. He's one of them that likes
just cast out devils and spirits.
That's what he did.
Like,
but
what else did he bring?
Yeah, what at the end of the day will you be able to say that he brought out a truth to restore and for people to be clothed with in the hour of Laodicea that was needed? For that hour, you were not going to find anything that he brought. See, that's what I mean. It's something that God was able to deliver through a ministry. And that ministry was Brother Brenham. He was able to do that.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
The only job description, when you step back and you look back. See, we can step back. And then we can look back and see what transpired back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and up to this very hour. We can step back and look at what the product was. And here, the only job description that they had was to promote the prophet to the east,
right.
William Brenham. And the only ones that went on, the Brother Jackson, When he heard about Brother Branham, he said, I'm not going to let daylight get between me and Brother Branham, because he knew exactly that he was that man, and he spent the rest of his life promoting the very fact that God did send that prophet, and that prophet was William Marion Branham, and he never did let daylight get between him, and that's why the Lord used him to move on to the next phase. And then and then all he did, like all throughout his life, throughout his ministry, he did not let daylight get between what Brother Branham said. There's a lot of things that Brother Branham said that he could not go along with, because he went back to the scripture and they were not scripturally. Like the thing about the pyramid and the thing about the different things that Brother Branham said with due statement. And it all hinges back. There's a fan in his hand, that separating fan. That's all what it is about. And then when it was done, the Lord gave him the charge, the responsibility to continue on with where Brother Branham left off. And when he was done, he gave us a beautiful picture of that building that is being built, line upon line, precept upon precept. And when he was done, you could see something that he brought us. And you could see a truth. And it just continued on, like the Bible says, on the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And here in the seventh church age, of Laodicea, he brought out the pictures of perfectly. These two men, without these two men, there would be no point in living, because everything would have gone right into darkness. But it's because of these two men that the Lord was able to teach us things, and now we can continue on where they left off, and we can tell the people exactly what's going on. That's why we can go back to the 60s and tell you whatever. That's why we can tell you where all these musicians and all these rock and rollers and all these artists came from, because God that had given the devil the key. Go for it. Go, and all these things, that hippie movement, and all, like the Beatles and all that, all of a sudden, there they come. And you can go back in the 60s. They already started in the 50s, but it hit the peak and the momentum, 60s, 70s, 80s, Janis Joplin. I know all of them. I was aware. I was right in that, kind of in that movement on their side. Like I saw this, like I say, I was down and I saw the Chamber Brothers with my own eyes. I was right there in San Francisco when the Charlie Manson was around. You know, everybody knows about that Charlie Manson. That's why sometimes I want to stay in touch. I want to see what's going on out there. There, lo and behold, here last week I come upon this Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys. You know, I remember back in the day. They were the Beach Boys. They were with the fast cars and the women and the drugs and everything back in the 60s and 70s, you know.
Back then everything looked so grand and great. Man. But when you look back now, you can see what spirit was driving it, and that what was when you line it up with scripture, that pale horse rider was out riding to deceive people, and that made everything wishy-washy. Christianity started to become gray. It wasn't black and white anymore. And that's through all these voices out there, that's what watered down Christianity. Mm-hmm. Like when you say something about people, they call you a racist. They have a long list of names that they call you. But back then, in the 50s, 60s, these things would not, it was such a contrast between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. But the devil likes to come in and water everything down. But now you see the fruits of it. Yeah. What was starting to materialize back in the 60s, now you see what it all brought. And it didn't bring anything good. The results are not good.
There's a lot of people that's left over from that hippie movement. They're old now. They were in the 70s, and somehow they managed to stay alive. Like I see that guy down here. You see him walking. He's got that, that Barry Gibb hairdo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could tell. He's from an old hippie. He's from back from the 60s, 70s. And someday I'm going to stop and talk to him and try to let him know what's actually going on, because you can tell he's still kind of a hippie with his long hair and his mustache, and he tries to portray him being like Berry Gibb from the Bee Gees, you know. He was in that movement. I can tell you right in a heartbeat when even some, a lot of these women that we, that, I mean, they're still, they were somehow affected by that 60s, 70s, 80s, and these hippie movements, and these artists, and these songs. They're still involved in it, but they don't know what's going on. Like, we can tell them exactly what it is, but he was Jack Delors, the devil came in, he took over, and he swept all these young people out to hell and death, and never to be recovered, never to be heard of since. And all we're doing now, the Lord has pulled us through this, and he found us faithful. Now we can tell these people what's going on, and hopefully they'll accept that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's all that's left, that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, so you can get out of this hell that's coming, the day of the Lord, the great tribulation that's just up the road here. The Bible explains it. It tells it all about what's coming up the road here. And it's already, the momentum has already begun. It's at the point of no return. It's not going to go into reverse. This thing you see in the States, with all of a sudden Trump comes out and he cleans up Washington, D.C., because if he allowed it to go on, there would be nothing left to salvage. But see, the Lord raised up Donald Trump, and now he's cleaning up Washington, D.C., and it looks impossible, but he's got some good people on his back, and he's got the Lord helping him. And then now he wants to go into Chicago, because they're just killing people left, right, and center. And if nobody stops it, there would be nothing left. The devil will take the planet and disintegrate it and just take it out, take the whole thing out, that there would be nothing to salvage. But you and I, we know that George Washington had that vision, the future of America, and that now you're going to see the culmination of that. And he said at the end of the day, there's going to be a civil war. There's going to be three perils hit America. And right now, we're right at the beginning stages of that third peril, where there'll be more bloodshed and then in the two other wars that America had. And you can about imagine what's coming. It's just picking up momentum. And these people, these leftists, these Democrats, they're not going to lay down and quit fighting. They're hiring, they're paying these protesters to do what they're doing. And it's going to, some eventually going to lock horn, and eventually going to have a civil war. Just that simple. It can't go no other way. Because when the cup of iniquity is full, that's what you have. Then you have the war. That's right. You need a war machine. That's what happens.
Uh-huh. It's really when the earth brings forth what it has sown. And you can clearly see what it has sown. What was being sown in the 60s when they rejected the prophet and the message that God had. All these players came out with their thing. Mm-hmm. All these voices came out, and now the earth is reaping what it has sown. Mm-hmm. That rejection is the result of that. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to lead these subjects out to hell and death. It's not going to lead them into eternal life.
That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. We're just telling people what's coming and what's going on, and all they got to do is jump on board. Just believe what we're saying. We sang that song the other day. I thought I'll bring it in, you know, and about speak to the mountain, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, if you believe what we're saying here, and you're part of that nucleus of people that believe the message for your day, you can speak to that mountain and it'll disappear. Because once you're connected to the message of your day, then you have the rights, you have the power to speak to that mountain. That mountain could be anything. That mountain could be cancer. That mountain could be disease. And simply because this, when I had cancer, we believed. Because we're believers in the message of our day. And here I was laying here one day, I said, Lord, Lorraine, why don't you pray for me? And if you were not interconnected to the message of the day, you could have prayed 24/7. It wouldn't have done a thing. But because you're connected to the message of the day, you have the power to do exactly what Jesus said after the resurrection. In my name, now go and cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. And you and I, we have the power to cast out devils simply because we are living in the day and hour and we're believing the message for your day. We don't advertise it. We don't think, but whenever the occasion arises, see, the occasion arose because I had cancer, and then one day I could feel the pain, and I just said, why did you pray for me? And that cancer just couldn't get out fast enough simply because you believed the message for your day. Now, if there's people out there listening, and you can actually get yourself to a place where you can actually believe what we're saying, said so much that you will do what the Bible says to him that hear it, say, come, and you have enough courage and enough backbone to tell somebody about this message to the point where you actually believe it, and you can tell somebody about it, you then have the power to cast out that cancer. If there's somebody in your family that has cancer, and you're connected with what you're saying here, and you believe the message for your day, you have that same power. You don't need us to cast out that cancer. You can do that yourself simply by believing the message for your day. And there is everything. And there is safety for your children. And there is everything in that package if you can only get yourself to believe the message for your day. And this is right here, what we're doing here. That's why the Lord told us to put up a lighthouse. That's where the central focal point of, that's where these the wheels within the wheels. That's where they're rotating. You can go back and read what's all in the wheels within the wheels back in Ezekiel. That's all happening. That's all being distributed from here. It's the central focal point. I'm not saying it because it's out. I'm not saying it because I want to make a name for myself. I'm saying this because it's the truth. And you and I have been given the responsibility to tell the truth in these closing days of time. So it doesn't disintegrate into a big vacuum. Like what the devil wants to do. That's why he attacks us 24/7. That's why he's trying to separate it. That's why he uses your family and have my family and everybody and that is anybody trying to separate it, because the devil knows if he can get us separated, this program ain't going anywhere. That's why we have to fight them off. That's why these tugs come in here trying to drag me back into that compound, into that Hutterite cult. And we just got to put up a fight. We just got to stand our ground. And so that the devil doesn't even shut out the little light that's left in this world. If it wasn't for you and I, nobody would know what we're saying here, what we just said about these artists, about all these people, about the Bee Gees, about the Beach Boys and Elvis Presley. All of a sudden, they come out. Where'd they come from? Simply because the churches of America rejected the truth for your day. He rejected that Malachi 4 prophet. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet to do what? To turn the heart of the children back to the apostolic faith of our Father, back to the Word of God, back to that first church. That's exactly what he's done with you and I. He's taken us back to that first church. The first church, the church of Ephesus, the church of the apostles and the prophets. That's exactly what Paul said. Anybody that preaches any other gospel than that which, let that man be cursed, because he knew he had a foundation principle built on the apostles, built on the prophets, mm-hmm. and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And all we're doing, we're holding a line on the truth, and we're taking back, and we're telling people exactly what happened here since the 60s, because people want to know, you know. There's a lot of people I see out on the street. I know they're the fallout from that hippie movement and from these artists and from these songs. You can tell the way they walk. You can tell the way they dress. But they don't know what's going on. We can tell them what's going on. And we're the only people that will tell them, because you and I are the only two people that know.
That's right.
That has the backbone to say it the way it needs to be said.
And that's why there's a void in people's lives. That's why they idolize these artists. They practically worship them. And where these artists are taking these people to is out to hell and death, because they're part of that pale horse rider. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was doing with these people, leading them out to hell and death.
And now you got this what's that girl called?
Taylor Swift.
And I got this Taylor Swift. The devil always has somebody that people want to look up to because he knows the weakness of the human race. They want this idol. They want somebody to worship. So he puts up this Taylor Swift, and all of a sudden everybody dresses like her. Everybody wants to look like her. And even back in the days of Bonnie and Clyde, all these girls, they wanted to dress just like the way that Bonnie and Clyde dress, you know. And they had a lot of followers because he was a role model for them, that Bonnie and Clyde outfit was. And here, every time that generation comes along, the devil has an idol there, like you say. And nowadays, our he has Taylor Swift. Well, that's just the way the devil works. But see, we're on to him. We can sit back because we have to sit back and we watch what's going on, and then we can come out every morning, and that's why we explain, that's why we're saying the thing. That's why the Lord moved on us to have our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Let people know what's going on around us so they're not ignorant, so they don't be lured into down that path of destruction, out to hell and death. So they can at least take a look, step back and take a look, you know. These guys are right. When I look, and all you got to do is look into the scriptures to prove that we're right. That's what happened back in the 60s. The devil was given the key to America. I literally saw it. And here you got the devil running America, running amok. And then he raised up Donald Trump because the time has now come for that third peril and to bring America back to where she was designed to go to. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for another day of life, for night's rest, and peace of mind, Lord, and what you've done in this hour, for allowing us to see the difference between what you have done in this hour and what the enemy has done, and the seeds that it has sown. So we just pray that you'll help people to understand your ways and the enemy ways, that they can believe and look to you, Lord, and believe in the righteousness for their day and hour. We just give you thanks for this day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.